I was finishing up, not this past week, but the week before that, reading through the Bible. I've made it my goal this year to read through 30 times, all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. I have four more to go to make it, so I got about a month and a half. And again, I would encourage you to stay in your Bibles. I know many of you have reported to me that you've made it through once, twice. One lady's on her third time through. And again, I do not believe that you will hurt yourself by reading the Bible too much. In fact, I believe just the opposite. If you don't spend enough time in the Bible, it will hurt you. And so you need to spend as much time as you can in the Word of God. And for me to stand before you like I do week after week, I need to spend a lot of time in the Word of God. Most of you know I did not go to Bible college. And so I sort of say like Paul, I sort of went into the wilderness and learned my Bible, and taught by God and some godly men that have been in my life, my Sunday school teachers and my pastors down through the years. And I listened to Brother Leonard teach, and I still learn things as I listen to his lessons week after week. And so, again, I think it's important for us to, every time we have the opportunity to be under God's Word, we ought to take that opportunity. And so I'd encourage you, if you don't come to Sunday school, just get up an hour earlier and come to Sunday school and get in under the Word of God. But the past week, I was finishing up, and I read the book of Revelation, and I came across this verse, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and sometimes the Lord just parks me at a verse. And I've preached on this verse before. In fact, after the service, because I know what John does, he writes it in his Bible. When I preach, he'll probably come and say, "Hey, preacher, you preached on that last." And I think it was about 6 years ago, Brother John, if you got the date. But I preached on this verse last, a little bit different message. But this morning, I just want to park on this one verse and talk to you about what this one verse says and remind you of what Jesus did for us when he left heaven, he came to earth, and he died in our place on Calvary. And you say, "Preacher, why do you preach so much about salvation?" Most of the people here are Christians. They have already asked Jesus to be their Savior. They already know they're on their way to heaven. But I like the last verse of that song that goes, "I love to tell the story to those who know it best, for they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, it will be the old story that we have sung so long." And so I don't apologize for preaching the gospel. If you're a Christian here this morning, I hope you rejoice when I remind you about some of the things that Jesus did to get you into his kingdom. If you're here this morning and you don't know him, our prayer is that before we get done, you'll make that decision to receive Jesus as your Savior. I read a story about a little church in Germany. They had employed a young man whose name was Frilberg to install their organ. He wasn't famous yet, but he was going to become famous for installing pipe organs in the country of Germany and in Europe itself. And this organ that he put into this little church filled both the front and the back, and it really was a wonderful job because it made the most perfect sounds. And as the organist played week after week, the reputation of that organ spread across Germany, and they had many people come just to hear the organ. And on a Tuesday of a given week, an old man came to the church, and the custodian was the only one there. And this old man said to the custodian, he said, I would like to see the organ. And the custodian said, "Well, you'll have to come back on Sunday to see it." And the old man said, "Well, I'm not going to be in town on Sunday. I'd like to see it today." And so the custodian said, "Well, we're not open to the public. I don't usually do this, but come on, and I'll show you the organ." So he took him up in the back loft where the keyboard was, and the old man looked at him. He said, "Could I play a few notes?" And the custodian said, "No, I knew I made a mistake when I brought you up here in the first place. No, nobody touches the organ but the organist." And the old man looked at him and said, "But just a couple of notes. I've heard how people have talked about how it sounded. And if I could just sit down and play a couple of notes, I promise I won't do anything to harm the organ. I won't do anything to hurt it if you just let me come and just let me sit down and play a couple of notes." And so the custodian thought about it. The old man had a kindly spirit about him. And he said, "Okay, just a couple of notes." And the old man sat down and played a couple of notes, and then, overwhelmed with the sound of the music, he began to play Handel's Messiah, and played Handel's Messiah all the way through. And the custodian was just in tears as he was listening to this, and he says, sir, that was the most beautiful rendition of Handel's Messiah that I've ever heard. Can you just tell me, what is your name? What's your name? And the old man looked at him and said, my name's Handel. My name is Handel. And the custodian said to himself, to think that I almost turned away the great Handel. I almost missed the chance to hear this heavenly music played, and I almost refused to let him come in and play this song. The sad thing about it is that many of us, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you have done something worse than this custodian. You have made a bigger mistake than this custodian almost made. Because if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you have probably turned away from the door of your life one that wants to save you, one that died in your place. I want you to notice what this verse says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. I want you to notice, first of all, that it says, behold, I stand. Jesus said, what I have to deliver to you is too important to write in the heavens. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But Jesus says, it's too important for me just to write it in the heavens, and so I stand. It's too important just to depend upon nature. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen in the things that he has made. But Jesus says, it's too important for me just to depend on nature, and so I stand. Jesus said, it's too important for me to depend on angels. I have depended on angels before to deliver important messages. I depended on an angel to go to Elizabeth and tell her that she was going to have a little baby and he was going to be the forerunner of Christ. I depended on an angel to go to Mary and tell her that she was going to be the mother of that Christ child. I depended on an angel to go to Joseph on several occasions and help him protect that little bitty baby that was born. I depended on angels to deliver the message to the shepherds that night on the hills of Bethlehem that the Savior had been born. But the message that I bring is too important for me to depend upon angels, and so I stand. I stand. The Creator at the door of the created. The infinite at the door of the finite. The Almighty at the door of the frail. The All-Wise at the door of the foolish. The All-Holy at the door of the sinful. The All-Loving at the door of the selfish. The Crucified at the door of the crucifiers. I stand. I stand. The Son of God, the way, the truth, the life. I stand. The Good Shepherd, I stand. Emmanuel, God with us, I stand. He said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. Not the sun, not the stars, not the moon, not nature, not angels. But God himself says, I stand. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I stand. He says, I stand at the door and knock. Not just one time. Not just twice. That word knock is a continual verb. It means that he stands and he knocks and he knocks and he knocks and he knocks. Because you see, he knows what will happen if we fail to open the door. And so he stands at the door of our life, at the door of our heart, however you want to say it, and he knocks and he knocks and he knocks. Through every stage of our life, through every circumstance, he knocks. Sometimes it's in poverty, sometimes in prosperity, but he stands and he knocks. Sometimes it's at the birth of a little baby. Sometimes it's in the death of a loved one as that loved one goes to heaven. But he stands at the door and he knocks. Sometimes it's in the bloom of health when we feel good. Other times it's when sickness comes. But he stands and he knocks. Sometimes it's during a Sunday school lesson when we hear that knock because the Holy Spirit has convicted us and it helps us hear the knock of the Savior on our life. Other times it's in a sermon or in a message. The Holy Spirit convicts us and we hear the knock that goes on and on and on. Sometimes it's a testimony of a mom or a dad as they tell us about how they got saved and how God changed their life as Jesus came into it. Sometimes it's a pointed, bended finger of a grandma stuck in a grandchild's face saying, "You're going to go to hell unless you receive Jesus as your Savior." That's what my grandma did to me. She stuck her bony finger in my face and said, "Daryl, you're going to go to hell unless you get saved." And I tell you what, when she did that, I heard the knock of Jesus Christ on the heart, my heart's door, on my life's door. He stands and he knocks. Many of us deliberately ignore it. We say, "Well, if I ignore it, he will go away." But I want to tell you something. He will not go away. Sometimes we don't hear it because the things of the world are so pressed in upon us that we can't hear his knock. But he doesn't go away. He keeps knocking. It happened in Jesus' day. They ignored the Savior in his day. I mean, can you imagine? I can't imagine living on the earth when Jesus lived and seeing the miracles that he performed, feeding the thousands of people and making the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and raising the dead. I can't imagine how people would ignore his invitation, and yet they ignored him. And he described them as having ears and not hearing and eyes and not seeing. It happens today. People today are still ignoring him. They hear the knock. They hear the Savior knocking at their heart. They hear the Savior knocking at the door. They hear it as we tell the old story and preach sermons like this, and yet they'll get up and walk out not giving their life to Jesus Christ. They'll hear the knock as a little junior or a group of juniors sings, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong." And yet they'll get up, having heard the message so sweetly delivered by little children that Jesus loves them, but they'll ignore the knock. They'll hear a preacher or a Sunday school teacher say, "Jesus loves you. He loves you. He has loved you for all eternity, and he will love you for all eternity." And yet, in even that, they'll hear the knock, but say no. And I want to tell you something this morning. Every time you say no, every time you hear this knock and you turn your heart and your life away from Jesus, you get a little bit more calloused. You get a little bit harder in your heart. And the next time you hear the knock, it'll be easier for you to say no. The next time you hear the Holy Spirit wooing you to the Savior, it'll be easier for you to say no. You say, "Preacher, how long will Jesus knock? How long will he continue to beat on the door of my life and the door of my heart? How long will he stand there and keep knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking?" He will knock until he knows that there is absolutely no chance that you will open the door. I believe that's what the Bible means as it talks about the unpardonable sin. When you reject Christ so many times and you ignore that knock that comes into your life so many times, that God knows in his infinite wisdom that there's no chance that you'll ever say yes, he quits knocking. I pray this morning there's no person in this room in that condition. I pray this morning there's no person in this room that has heard the knock of Christ in their life but hears it no more. You listen to me. I don't care how many times you've ignored it. I don't care how many times you've put it out of your mind and you've said no to the Holy Spirit and you've said no to Jesus as he knocks on the door of your life. If you still hear the knock, if you still feel the pull of the Holy Spirit as he woos you to Christ, you come. You better come. Only God knows when you've said no for the last time. Only God knows when you've crossed that point and you've crossed that line where Jesus quits knocking. He loves you. He stands at the door of your life and knocks. And then that verse says, if you hear his voice. Say, wait a minute, preacher. What do you mean if you hear his voice? Shouldn't it be if any man hears, knock? I mean, you just talked about how he knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks. And yet that verse says, if any man hear his voice. You see, Jesus would do the same thing that we would do if we were knocking on the door and wanted to get in and knew there was somebody in there and they wouldn't open the door. I can remember one time when I was a teenager, I locked myself out of the house. My younger brother was the only one that was home. Mom, Dad, gone. My very youngest brother, so my middle brother was the only one there. And I knew he was in the house. I knew he was awake. And so I went and knocked on the door. Nothing. Nothing. And I knew what he was doing. He was just playing with me. So I knocked on the door. Tim! Tim! Come open the door! Tim! He finally opened the door. He said, I came to open the door just because I was tired of hearing you yelling. That's what Jesus does. He knows we're home. He knows we need what he has to offer. You listen to me. If you got up in the middle of the night and looked at your neighbor's house and your neighbor's house was on fire, here's what you do. You'd run over there as quick as you could and you'd begin to knock on the door. But you just wouldn't depend on knocking on the door. You'd begin to cry out, hey, wake up, your house is on fire, you need to get out now, come on, get out. You say, I need to save my neighbor. They're going to perish if I don't wake them up. They might die in the fire if I don't get them out of the house. And you have a sense of urgency to do that. You have something that drives you, not just to knock, but to cry out. If you have to, you'll take a brick and throw it through the window. You'll do whatever you need to do to get their attention. And same thing God does for us. He won't force his way in. I'll talk about that in a minute. But he'll do everything that he can to get our attention. Martha went back to Mary and said, the Master has come and calleth for thee. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door. Open the door. A man by the name of Holman Hunt painted a picture inspired by this verse. Maybe you have seen it. My grandmother had one hanging in her living room. It was a picture of what Mr. Hunt thought Jesus looked like. He had a lantern. He was before a door and his hand was on the door knocking. A critic looked at that picture and said, hey, Mr. Hunt, you left something out of the picture. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's no drawstring on the outside of the door, no way to open the door from the outside. He said, oh, no, I didn't make a mistake. I painted it just like I wanted to paint it. Door can't be opened from the outside. It can only be opened from the inside. Only the one inside can open the door. Same is true today. Jesus will knock. And Jesus will call, but he will not force his way in. He'll wait for you. He'll wait for you. He'll wait for you to make a decision to open the door. To open the door. Now, there are some people say, that's way too simple. Must be more connected with this thing called salvation. I mean, just to simply open the door, that's all I've got to do. Absolutely. That's all you got to do. Is you have to decide, yes, I'm going to open the door and trust Jesus to be my Savior. Other people say, well, I don't feel anything. Well, when somebody knocks on your door, do you have to feel something to open the door? No, you'll go to the door, see who it is, and if you see it, you know, it's safe, you'll open the door. It doesn't matter how you feel. A lot of people say, well, I just don't feel anything. I've known people that have felt a lot, and I've known people that have felt nothing. And you know what? They both got saved. A lot of people don't feel anything until after they get saved and realize what God's done for them. And then the emotion comes. But I read nowhere in this book that there's a requirement to feel something when you ask Jesus to be your Savior. You just got to open the door. Other people say, well, there's things in my life that I need to get rid of before I can open that door. I'd be ashamed to open the door. I remember a couple, it's been years and years ago, they visited our church, and they put on their visitor's card they'd like the pastor to come by and visit them. So I called them. I said, hey, I'm going to be in the neighborhood, you know, it'll be in this range of time, it'd be okay if I come over. Yeah, sure, come on over. Yeah, that's a couple of days beforehand, so I went over and knocked at the door. I heard a noise inside, but nobody came to the door. So I knocked again. And you know how, you know, some people, they think they're being sneaky. I saw the curtain move over at the picture window. I saw an eyeball. So I knew they were in there. I mean, I'd made an appointment. It's not that I was showing up, you know, cold. So, and I called out, and I won't say their name. Hey, I know you're in there. I'm not going away till you open the door. You might as well open the door. So finally, the man comes to the door and says, come on in, preacher. We are kind of ashamed for you to come in right now because we didn't get to clean up the house like we wanted to. But if you're not going away, come on in. And we had a good visit. We had a good visit. They were members of our church for a long time. They've moved since then, but we had a good visit. You listen to me. Jesus doesn't care what your life looks like. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. Though they be, and I'm probably getting it mixed up, but though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. I'm glad God doesn't demand us to clean up our lives before he comes. Most of us couldn't do it. It's only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can get those things out of our life after we get saved that need to be out. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. You can't earn it anyway. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. I'll remind you this morning, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'll remind you that the wages of sin is death. It's what the Bible tells us. But it also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, him, the one through which the gift comes, stands and he knocks. And he calls, and he says, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I want to tell you this morning, that's what you need. You're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. There's something missing in your life. There's a big hole that only he can fill. And if you'll simply open the door and trust him, he'll come in. And the Bible says, he'll sup with us. He'll sup with us. You go back and you look at that word, it just means more. It means more than just eat. A lot of people say, well, it just means he'll come in and have supper with us. Oh, no. You go back and you look at the Greek and you study the Greek word. It means, yeah, he'll come in. But as he comes in, he'll bring his bounty. As he comes in, he'll bring rest. As he comes in, he'll bring peace. As he comes in, he'll bring his love. As he comes in, it'll be just like having, the closest way I know how to describe it is when you get together on a holiday and all your family's there and everybody's getting along and there's peace and there's love and there's joy. And you get to be with one another. And that's what Jesus said. You open the door, I'll come in and I'll give you all that. And so this morning, again, I know most of us here, we've already opened that door. And Jesus, come in, and we're supping with him now. He's brought that peace, and he's brought that joy, and he's brought the hope of heaven into our life. And I'm so glad that he came himself, aren't you? I'm glad he just didn't decide to write it in the sky and just didn't decide to say it with nature and just didn't depend on angels to deliver the message. I'm glad he came and lived among us. 33-some years, and went to the cross and died in our place and delivered himself the message. And I'm so glad for the salvation that Christ offers to us and that most of us here this morning have taken it and accepted it and know it's ours. But if you're here and you're one that has not, I beg you this morning, hear the knock. Hear the call. He's calling your name because, you see, it's personal to him and it's personal to you. He knows right where you are. He knows the condition of your life. And he comes and he calls you right where you are and say, hey, just open the door. Just open the door. I'll come in. I will come in. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior, in just a second, we're going to, Brother Bob's going to come and play "Just As I Am" for us. We won't sing this morning, but we'll stand. And I'll ask you to examine your heart. And if you have to say, I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the fact that Jesus did leave heaven. He came and lived among us. And one day he stood at the door of each one of our hearts and he knocked. And Father, for many of us here this morning, we heard the knock, we heard the call as he called our name. And we opened the door and he came in. And this morning we're saved. Still sinners, but saved. No longer under the penalty of sin, but headed for heaven. And I pray, Father, that if there's just one here this morning that doesn't know that reality, doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would come and they would ask Jesus to be their Savior. Would you help them do it this morning, Father? Woo them, Holy Spirit, to the Savior. The only hope they have to get right with God. The only hope they have to get their sins forgiven. Help them to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.